चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। श्री नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की जय। श्री जगन्नाथ पुरी धाम की जय। श्री मथुरा धाम की जय। श्री द्वारका धाम की जय। गंगमयी की जय। यमुनामयी की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। तुलसी देवी की जय। समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। गौर प्रेमानंदी। All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sri Garga Uvacha. I am he Rohini Putro. I am he Rohini Putro. Ramayan Suhrdokanai. Akyasyati Rama iti. Bala kidyad balam pitu. Yadhunam apritag bhavat. Shankarshanam usantyapi. Sri Garga Upacha. I am he Rohini Putro. Ramayan Suhritokanai. Abhyasyati Rama iti. Balakidyad balam vidu. Yadunam apritag bhavat. Sankarshanam usantyapi. Sri Garga Uvacha. I am he Rohini Putra. Ramayan Suhrito Gunai. Akyasyati Rama iti. Balad kidyad balam vidu. Yadunam apritag bhavat. Sankarshanam ushantyapi.
ladies.
Gargamuni said,
I am
this,
he
indeed,
Rohini Putra,
the son of Rohini,
Ramayan,
pleasing,
Surida,
all his friends and relatives,
Gunai,
by transcendental qualities,
Akya,
Akyasyate,
will
be called
Rama,
by the name Rama,
the
supreme enjoyer,
Iti,
in this way,
Bala
Adikyat, because of extraordinary strength,
Balam Vidu
will be known as Balaram,
Yadunam
of the Yadu dynasty,
Apritak
Bhavat,
because
of not being separated from you,
Sankarshanam,
by the name Shankarshan, or uniting two families,
Usanti
attracts,
Api
also. Gargamuni said, this child, the son of Rohini, will give all happiness to his relatives and friends by his transcendental qualities. Therefore, he will be known as Rama, and because he will manifest extraordinary bodily strength, he will also be known as Bala. Moreover, because he unites two families, Vasudev's family and the family of Nanda Maharaj, he will be known as Sankarshan. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Baladev was actually the son of Devaki, but he was transferred from Devaki's womb to that of Rohini. This fact was not disclosed. According to a statement in the Harivamsa, Pratyuvacha Tato Rama Sarvamstan Abhitastitan Yadaveshwapif Sarveshu Bhavanto Mama Vallabha. Gargamuni did not disclose to Nanda Maharaj that Balaram would be known as Shankarshan because of uniting two families, the Yadu Vamsa and the Vamsa. Gargamuni did disclose to Nanda Maharaj that Balaram would be known as Shankarshan because of uniting two families, the Yadu Vamsa and the Vamsa of Nanda Maharaj, one of which was known as a Kshatriya and the other as Vaishya. Both families had the same original forefather.
The only difference being that Nanda Maharaj was born of a Vaishya wife, whereas Vasudev was born of a Kshatriya wife. Later, Nanda Maharaj married a Vaishya wife, and Vasudev married a Kshatriya wife. So although the families of Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev both came from the same father, they were divided as Kshatriya and Vaishya. Now Baladev united them, and therefore he was known as Sankarshan. Om Agyan Timidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Yudha Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajataham Sahagana Raghunatham Bitham Tham Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padahan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Bithamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
I am very grateful to be back with you again. Thank you. Today, as we celebrate Sri Balaram Jayanti, the appearance of Lord Sri Balaramji, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 8. Entitled Lord Krishna Shows the Universal Form, Text 12. In this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, Vasudev and Devaki, who have endured such inconceivable heartbreak, suffering, having been imprisoned behind bars, shackled with chains for many years, having seen six of their children murdered before their eyes, and then Devaki, her seventh child, was so special, made her so illuminated with joy and then mysteriously disappeared from her womb. And the eighth child, Krishna, the night of his birth, he attracted their hearts in this prison cell. He illuminated their lives. But then, appearing like a little baby by Devaki's request, he ordered Vasudev to carry him to the home of Nanda Maharaj in Gokul. Nanda Maharaj so much was thinking, with his unconditional parental love, and Vasudev, his dear friend, was only thinking of the welfare of the child. So Vasudev sent Gargamuni, the greatest of the Brahmins of the Yadu dynasty, to go to Gokul secretly to bless the child. We find when Gargamuni arrives, Nanda Maharaj is so overwhelmed with gratitude. A great sage, a true sadhu, has come to my home. Such a blessing. He praised Gargamuni and praised his own good fortune that he had come to the house. Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas tell that saintly people, they visit the homes of householders not to beg something from them, but to give them spiritual guidance and blessings. Nanda Maharaj, he had two little babies, Krishna and Balaram. Krishna, he was under the impression he's the son of myself and Yashoda, which he was. Because Nanda and Yashoda are the eternal parents of Lord Krishna. And Balaram, who was just about 15 days or so older than Krishna, was actually hiding in his home. Wife of Vasudev, Rohini, was sent to Vrindavan to get shelter from Nanda Maharaj. But Nanda Maharaj loved Balaram as he loved Krishna. He requested Gargamuni to perform the name-giving ceremony, one of the Vedic samskaras. Gargamuni questioned whether he should. Myself being a high priest of the Yadu dynasty, very close to Vasudev, if I perform this name-giving ceremony, the word will spread. And Kamsa, who's looking for the eighth child of Devaki and Vasudev everywhere, they will think this child must be him. Otherwise, why is a Yadu priest coming to Gokul? And he will come to attack Krishna. Balaram, of course, he didn't give their names yet. He will come to attack the children. Nanda Maharaj, out of his love for his children, from his heart, and also his example, wanted to set the principle how important it is
that a child is blessed. These Vedic samskaras are not just rituals. Each and every one of them is to invoke the heartfelt blessings of great personalities and the Lord upon the child. Nanda Maharaj is eternally Krishna's father. Such an exalted position. What are we compared to him? But still, in the natural humility of a great soul, he was not thinking that I can protect Krishna. He wanted the blessings of great souls upon his child. We find this as a universal principle. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada, our own beloved Guru Maharaj, he would give the credit of what he was doing to his father and mother. When he was a little boy, father and mother would regularly invite sadhus to their home. And if serve them very nicely, just like Nanda Maharaj served Gargamuni so nicely, with heart. If we ritualistically serve a great personality without truly from the heart feeling grateful and wanting to please them, then even if they speak a blessing, we will not be so blessed. Because Krishna is Varada Raj. He is the supreme giver of blessings. And he gives his blessings to those who love him. Krishna's mercy comes according to how we approach him. Our surrender. In this sense, surrender is being truly grateful for Krishna's mercy and showing our gratitude to those who he loves. Just a few days ago, I was in London. Actually, yesterday I was in London. That's the reason I sound spaced out. But while I was there, I every day spent several hours with our very, very dear brother and friend, Shruti Dharma Prabhu. He first met Srila Prabhupada in the early 1970s. He faithfully served Bhaktivedanta Manor since about 1978. There were times when the British government passed laws to close down the temple from public worship. And he, Pranabandha Prabhu, Akhandari Prabhu, Kripamaya Prabhu, these devotees, they just a few. They led resistance because of their dedication. It went to the courts. and they lost. They went to the courts again, and they lost. They attracted so many other religious organizations, Hindu organizations, Christian organizations, Jewish organizations, to join with them for their religious freedom. They had large marches, rallies at the British Parliament. Still nothing happened. I think it took about 12 years. Finally, they were victorious. And where at one time at Bhaktivedanta Manor there was no public allowed to come for worship, in a few days on Janmashtami, they're expecting approximately 80,000 people. That's how many people regularly come. Earlier this year, Shruti Dharma Prabhu was personally invited to have the Queen of England meet him. At least that's our perspective. But they met together. He regularly on Diwali, in the presence of Prime Minister, gives Diwali address and blessings in the Parliament. But most of all, among the devotees, he's united everyone. Bhaktivedanta Manor is probably the most unique, incredible project in the West in its own way. Srila Prabhupada spent most time there in Europe. He called it his European headquarters. George Harrison donated it. As large population of Prabhupada's disciples, second generation, third generation, Pandava Sena, Western people, Indian people, temple people. Shruti Dharma Prabhu has kept everyone united, serving together in such a spirit of devotion, because everybody knows that he's there for them. And recently it was discovered he had an extremely dangerous form of cancer in his brain. So such a vulnerable condition, not really knowing how much time, so much physical difficulty. And yet when I visited him, I would speak so many things. But he only spoke one thing: how grateful he was, how blessed he felt himself, truly coming from the core of his heart. Sometimes in that state, it's difficult to articulate too many thoughts, at which time it's just what's in your heart. Again and again, eloquently expressing gratitude. Gratitude for all the devotees who have blessed him. Gratitude to Srila Prabhupada and all of his gurus. Gratitude to Krishna, who's given him so many opportunities to serve in every way. Really, it's hours and hours every day. Every time he was going to speak, I could predict what he was going to say. In different ways, he simply was grateful, was happy, was surrendered. Because this is a quality of Sharanagati, surrender. Is you're not complaining. We all have so many reasons to complain in this material world. Padam padam yadvipadam natesham dukalayam ashashrutam. It doesn't take a great person to find reasons to complain in this world. Abrama bhuvana loka punar avartanorjana mamupeti tukontiya punar janmana vidyate. From the highest planet in this world to the lowest, they're all places of birth and death. They're all places of threefold miseries. Miseries of the body and mind, miseries caused by others, miseries caused by natural disturbances. And yet in this world, under the illusion of Maya, people think that they could show how great they are by criticizing others, by complaining about situations. There's limitless abundance of reasons to complain. But surrender is whatever condition we're in. We're grateful for the opportunity to remember Krishna. We're grateful to serve. We're grateful to receive Krishna's love and the blessings of others. So Nanda Maharaj was so happy. Garga Muni has come. Nanda Maharaj was, he's Brajaraj. He's the king of Braj Bhumi. All his hundreds and thousands of cows and calves and bulls. All the people of Vrindavan, they all accepted him as their leader unconditionally. What Nanda Maharaj said, everyone would do. When his father, Parjanya, performed a ceremony in Gokul to coronate his older brother, Upananda, as the king of Braj, Upananda said, in front of everybody, the title, the role, the power, the popularity was all being given to him. And everyone unanimously accepted, yes, it is yours. There wasn't an election. There was no need to campaign or prove himself. It belonged to him. He's the Upananda. But in front of everyone, he melted their hearts. He said, actually, my younger brother, Nanda, he's more qualified than me. I just want to assist him. Upananda was perfectly empowered and qualified. But he saw that his brother had this special feature of love, of devotion, of care. So he said, I want to give my title to my younger brother. It's not the way brothers usually are in this material world. There was no competitive envy or anything. And Nanda Maharaj was very humbled. He was thinking, no, no, you're my brother. I'll do whatever you say. And Upananda said, this is what I say. You be the king of Braj Bhumi. I will be your minister and I'll give you whatever advice you'd like. And everyone in Vrindavan, they were so happy. Not only were they happy that Nanda Maharaj was going to be their leader, they were so happy to see the love between these brothers. It was for so real, so deep, so profound. And Nanda Maharaj, very humble, he basically accepted the position because Upananda, his father, Parjanya, ultimately agreed. And all the people of Vrindavan said, yes, yes, this is what we want. Please do it. So he said, all right. But whatever Upananda tells me to do, I will do that. And that's the way it was from that day on. He accepted the role, the service. But Upananda was, anything he guided, Nanda Maharaj would immediately do it. After so many asuras and calamities were happening in Vrindavan, in Gokul, Upananda said, we should move to across the Yamuna. There's Govardhan Hill. Let us go to the forest of Vrindavan. It's not that easy to just move a whole community practically the same day. But it was Upananda's suggestion. Nanda Maharaj, yes, we will go. And they went. So this story is still here in Gokul. Nanda Maharaj is the father of God. It's a very exalted title. Srila Prabhupada often says that impersonal philosophies, they want to become God. But a devotee can become the father of God. And better still, Yashoda Mai is the eternal mother of God. And the gopas are the friends of God. And the gopis are his intimate lovers. This is the nature of bhakti. Loving, ecstatic relationship. So Nanda Maharaj, in his eternally most exalted position, he doesn't feel himself qualified. And yet, we feel ourselves so qualified. He's very much feeling that his love for his child is for his child to be blessed by great souls. We were speaking, Srila Prabhupada's father and mother would invite sadhus almost every night to their home and serve them with so much humility and devotion to make them happy. Can you imagine eating the prasad of Srila Prabhupada's mother, Bengali mother, offered to Radha Govinda? So through the hospitality and through serving them wonderful prasad, the sadhus' hearts were overflooding with joy. And at that moment, Srila Prabhupada's father and mother, they would ask for only one blessing. Please bless our son, Abhay, that in his life he will be a great devotee of Srimati Radharani. Srila Prabhupada was a little child, but he would personally witness his parents begging these sadhus for blessings. And here he is in his mid-70s, the acharya of a worldwide movement, and he's remembering how his parents loved him. And this is how they expressed their love. By their example, every morning he would rise and he would see his mother and father worshiping Radha Govinda. chanting the holy names of the Lord, offering puja. He'd see such integrity, such character in the way they lived, because they were conscious that Krishna's watching their every movement. Krishna's hearing their every word. We cannot pretend to be great devotees when we're really conscious that Krishna's always there in our heart, watching and reciprocating. Krishna has entrusted this child. It is our first and foremost duty in life to make sure this child is happy in Krishna's mercy, that this child will love Krishna. They didn't ask the sadhus, bless my child to be a doctor. Bless my child to make lots of rupees and take care of us when we're old. These things children are supposed to do if that's their dharma. But everything's included. Because when the soul is happy, then life is perfect. Please bless our child that he will be a great devotee of Sri Radha. And Prabhupada would very emotionally and blissfully narrate his parents' example. In fact, the summary study of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, Srila Prabhupada wrote Krishna book, which was the first revelation in the Western world of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, Mathura, Dwarka. And Krishna dedicated the book to his father, Gaur Mohan Day, who gave him this conception of loving Krishna from his earliest childhood. And he said, and later, my own beloved Guru Maharaj, the Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, gave me oh so much more. So here is Nanda Maharaj, the king of Braj, appealing to Garga Muni, please perform this name-giving ceremony, because this ceremony will invoke blessings upon these two babies, my children. Balaram, he knew, was Rohini and Vasudev's child. But the child was entrusted in his care. And ultimately, aham bija pratapita. Krishna tells, I am the seed-giving father and mother of all living beings. So is this child actually mine? It's Krishna's child. The soul belongs to Krishna. The body is made of Krishna's energy. But the child is entrusted in my care. And the way we care is with love. The highest love is to be an instrument of Krishna's love. So Nanda Maharaj was very, very much thinking the urgency that this name-giving ceremony must be performed to bless these children. And he told Garga Muni, if you're fearful that Kamsa will find out about you doing this, then we'll do it completely in secret. Not even my relatives will know. No public, no family, just us. like that. The mood of Nanda Maharaj was not anything except for the true benefit of his child. There was not going to be any pomp, any ceremony, any festival. If he could have done that, he would have. Nandotsava, the birth ceremony, was incredible for Krishna. They were dancing, they were singing, everyone in Vrindavan were dressed in their best garments. There was big feasts, they were throwing butter and yogurt all over each other. It was a great festival. Something we can't even imagine. But the whole festival of Nandotsav, they performed the Abhishekam of Sri Krishna, was just for everyone to bless Krishna. That was the purpose. If you make everyone happy, they will shower their blessings. If you make everyone happy, if you make all these devotees happy, Krishna will reciprocate by fulfilling your wish to bless the child. So here is Nandotsav, the birth ceremony, samskara. Such a festival. Everybody dancing and singing and celebrating. And here is the next samskara, the birth, and it's completely secret and private. They hid in the goshala where the cows were. Nanda Maharaj did not even tell any of his family members. He just wanted that blessing for his children. And since Janmashtami is coming, and soon, we will only discuss the part about Balaram today. And Gargamuni, interesting, he says, this child, the son of Rohini, will give all happiness to his relatives and friends by his transcendental qualities. Therefore, he will be known as Rama. And because he will manifest extraordinary bodily strength, he will also be known as Bala. Moreover, because he unites two families, Vasudeva's family and the family of Nanda Maharaj, he will be known as Shankarshan. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadev Goswami tells the story of the birth of Krishna and Balaram. That fateful night, the marriage of Devaki and Vasudev, Kamsa was so affectionately bringing his sister, cousin sister, to her husband's home. The very night of the marriage, a voice came from the sky. Kamsa, you are a fool. The eighth child of your sister will be the cause of your death. Suddenly his mood changed. From an affectionate brother with tears in his eyes, trying to make his sister happy, he grabbed her by the hair, his eyes glowing with wrath, pulled his sword, was about to sever her head. Shows how circumstances can change a person's consciousness. But Vasudev pleaded with him. Philosophy didn't work for Kamsa. He spoke really good philosophy, but Kamsa couldn't hear it. He was stuck in fear and ego, arrogance. But Vasudeva was so honest when he promised, Every child I will give to you, because you have no danger from your sister. Kamsa trusted him.
And when they were in prison, after the six children were slain, they represented the six sons of Marichi, who represents the mind, who are the children of the mind in this world. Lust, anger, envy, arrogance, greed, and illusion. And in order for Krishna to manifest within our heart, we must remove those six enemies. They were actually children. They were cursed in a previous birth to be killed in this way. And after they were liberated. So at that time, Shankarshan, Balaram, entered the womb of Devaki. Krishna instructed Yogamaya to go to Gokul. He said, I want you to transfer the child of Devaki into the womb of Rohini, who is at Nanda Maharaja's home. And then I want you to take birth as my sister from Yashoda. Now, to transfer Balaram, Srila Prabhupada writes in purport, that's really a big task. To take Balaram out of somebody's womb and move to somebody else's womb. Yogamaya was thinking, this is what... But she said, so be it. Because she understood with the instruction of Krishna, by the will of Krishna, anything is possible for any of us. That is Krishna's grace. Srila Prabhupada quotes from Haribamsa. Rohini Devi was living at Nanda Maharaja's house. She was 7 months pregnant. At midnight, she had a dream. It was a horrible dream. She dreamed that she had a miscarriage. Soon after, she woke up, and it was true. There was a miscarriage, at least apparently. She was feeling great motherly distress. And at that moment, Yogamaya spoke to her and told her, this is all my doing. I am attracting the child of Devaki into your womb. Rohini is the eternal mother of Balaram from the spiritual world. And when Devaki's child entered her womb, he actually took shelter of his eternal mother. Krishna told Yogamaya that this child who you are going to be transferring, his name is Shankarshan because he's going to unite two families. His name is Bala because he will give the residents of Gokul so much happiness. And his name will be Baladev. His name is Rama because of that happiness. And his name is Baladev because he will exhibit such limitless spiritual strength. So it's interesting.
Garga Muni is giving the same names that Krishna told Yogamaya for Balaram. Srila Prabhupada, he said many times that we pray to Lord Balaram for spiritual strength. Balaram is the original guru. Krishna and Balaram together live forever in the spiritual world of Goloka. Srila Prabhupada, he wrote, on behalf of all of the great acharyas and scriptures, the difference between Krishna and Balaram is Krishna is dark like a monsoon cloud, and Balaram is white in complexion like a spring cloud. They are one and the same. Balaram is the first expansion of Krishna in the spiritual world. This gives the ultimate emphasis in our spiritual life on the principle of loving relationship based on service. Beyond this material world of birth and death, we have our little earth planet. Above that is Swargaloka, the heavenly worlds. Above there is Janaloka, Maharloka, Tapaloka, the higher planets of the great rishis and sages. Beyond that is Brahmaloka, Satyaloka, the abode of Brahma. Brahma lives 311 trillion years. Beyond this material existence is the Brahma Jyoti, the Paravyoma, the eternal spiritual sky, which is forever filled with divine light. Within that spiritual sky are the planets of Vaikuntha, where the Lord is eternally residing. And above all the Vaikunthas is Goloka. Now, when we say first expansion, we can't exactly say it's chronological, because it's eternal. How can you have chronology in eternity? If Balaram is eternally existing, then how is he coming from Krishna? If Krishna is eternally existing, how is he coming from Nanda and Yashoda? These are wonderful mysteries. Because the concept of chronology in the spiritual world is not based on the influence of time as we know it in this material world. It is simply a pastime. It's simply a wonderful, wonderful arrangement of the Lord to increase the loving relationships within pastimes. Lila. So Balaram is the first expansion of Krishna. From Balaram comes the Chaturvyuha, Shankarshan, Aniruddha, Vasudev, Pradyumna. From that comes Narayan, the Narayan who is the Lord of Vaikuntha. From Narayan comes a secondary Chatur, the four. And from them, from Shankarshan comes Mahavishnu, Karuna Dakshai Vishnu, who is the Lord of the entire creation. He expands himself to be Garbo Dakshai Vishnu, the Lord of each universe. He expands himself to be Chiro Dakshai Vishnu, the Lord within the heart of every living being. And that Kshirovashtakshayi Vishnu, who has a spiritual planet of Svetadvip, it is from whom that it is from he that all the avatars are manifested.
Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chuduskrita.
Krishna comes again and again and again into this world. All these great avatars, Narasingha, Varaha, Vamana, Ram, they all manifest through Kshirodakshayi Vishnu. And the cause of the cause of all causes of all of these is Balaram. He's the origin of all incarnations, the all origin of all Purusha avatars, but his origin is Krishna. And Balaram, he's the original guru because the master of everything that exists, but eternally his life is to serve Krishna. As Narayan, when the Lord appears as Narayan, Balaram appears as Anantashesha, to be his bed, his umbrella. Balaram expands in the spiritual world to be the spiritual world. He becomes the Lord's shoes, his jewelry, his chair, his bed. In every possible way, he's simply serving the Lord, giving pleasure to the Lord. And in reciprocation, the Lord is always giving pleasure to Balaram. Similarly, the Hladini Shakti, Sri Radha, who's none different than Krishna. For all of eternity, she's the servant of Krishna, giving pleasure to Krishna. And Krishna, for all eternity, feels himself indebted as the servant of Radha, giving pleasure to Radha. So this is the sum and substance of the highest revelations of yoga, of spirituality, is loving relationship. Achintya Beda Beda Tattva. Balaram is one with Krishna. They are the self-same person, but eternally they're different also. And that difference is for one reason only, to facilitate loving reciprocation. And this is bhakti yoga, the yoga that reconnects us to that love. All the gopis are simply assisting Sri Radha, and all the gopis are simply assisting Balaram in loving Krishna. One time Srila Prabhupada was sitting and his manner, and some of his leading devotees were discussing expanding this movement in different properties that they were acquiring and different problems how to resolve and distributing so many millions of books. And Prabhupada was in a meditative mood. They asked Srila Prabhupada, one devotee, God knows why, but this devotee asked Prabhupada, what are you thinking? Srila Prabhupada said, I'm just thinking, what did Yashodamai put in Krishna's lunchbox today? The goal of everything is that simplicity, to enter into the Leela of the Lord. So yes, Krishna and Balaram are one. Radha Krishna are one. But this separate identity that they simultaneously have is simply for the purpose of loving exchange. Nitya nityanam chetanas chetananam. Mamayavam so jiva loke, jiva bhuta sanatana. We are all expansions of Krishna. Each and every one of us. Wherever there's life, there's a spirit soul, and that soul is a part of Krishna. An eternal soul. And why did Krishna expand himself into all of us? For eternal loving reciprocation. Ananda. Krishna wants each and every one of us to taste the sweetest, highest happiness. And Krishna's feeling the sweetest, highest happiness in giving that happiness to us. And we are feeling that happiness and giving that happiness to Krishna. And that is the supreme reality. Above liberation. Above birth and death forever. And Balaram, he's the example of the Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead, in every way serving. In every relationship Krishna has, Balaram is there in the lead. Shantaras, he expands himself as the clothes, the shoes, and the abode of the Lord. Dasyaras, he's engaged in serving the Lord in every possible way. Sakyaras, he's Krishna's, the leader of all the cowherd boys. Vatsalyaras, he's Krishna's older brother, so he has parental affection for Krishna. And in Madhuryaras, he expands as Ananga Manjari, who is Sri Radha's younger sister, to be there to assist Sri Radharani and Krishna in their most confidential pastimes. And in this material world, he expands himself to be the empowering principle within the spiritual master, the guru, who's teaching us how to engage in Krishna's service, how to love Krishna and be happy. That is Balaram. In Ram Lila, Balaram appeared as Lakshman, younger brother of Lord Sri Ram. He's all powerful as a servant. When Ram was exiled to the forest, Lakshman, who was the constant associate of Sri Ramchandra, he insisted, "I will go with you." Ram tried to convince Sita not to come. But Sita was so insistent. "I cannot be separated from you. I must come with you." And Ram surrendered to the will of Sita. When Lakshman said, "I will come," Ram didn't even bother trying to convince him otherwise. He said, "Yes, Lakshman, come." From their birth, Lakshman was always the servant of Ram. And although Lakshman is the source of Mahavishnu and all other avatars, he would walk in front of Sita and Ram, sometimes behind them, protecting them. When they'd come to a little place, whether it be Chitrakoot or Panchavati, Nasik, Lakshman would build a little house for them. Natural, simple. With his own hands, he would build. When Ram and Sita were resting at night, Lakshman didn't sleep. He remained awake, guarding. When they were at the kingdom of Guha, Lakshman, along with Guha, made a nice little bed for Ram. And when Sita and Ram were resting, Lakshman stood up all night guarding. During the great fight of Sri Lanka, Lakshman was struck by a mystical powered javelin in his chest. He fell down, and there was no symptom of consciousness in his body. Lord Sri Ramchandra, seeing his brother in this state, he stopped fighting himself. He fell on his knees, weeping in concern for his brother Lakshman. And that was the great opportunity for Hanuman. The doctor of the Vanaras, he said, there is an herb in the Gandhamadana mountain, long way from here. Bring that herb, Hanumanji. Hanuman saw Lakshman was in danger. And Ram's love for Lakshman, Rama's crying. It's a leela of love. And it was that scenario that Hanumanji jumped to the Himalayas. He couldn't find the herb, so he picked up the mountain. Nothing could stop him. And we have all seen that famous of all paintings of Hanuman. The most popular is carrying the mountain. And what is the leela of carrying the mountain? He's carrying that mountain because Lakshman, Balaram, appears to be in a helpless state in Ram. What greater way of pleasing Ram than at this time of his need to assist him? Hanuman was actually doing it for Lakshman, knowing that's Ram's heart and soul. And when this fragrance of the herb entered into Lakshman, he immediately came back to consciousness. That was pinnacle of Ram's happiness with Hanuman. Ram's love for Sita. When Sita was in the Ashokavan of Ravana in Sri Lanka, it was Hanuman that jumped over to console her and then come back to Ram to give the message. Hanuman is the emblem of bhakti. He's the personification of devotion. And we find these two particular pastimes are prominent. And both of them are times when Ram was feeling deep pain of separation due to the plight of his beloved. One is Sita, the other is Lakshman, and Hanuman was right there to give pleasure to the Lord's devotees. In Gokul, Krishna and Balaram were two little infant babies. After some time, they learned to crawl. Krishna tells in Gita, I'm the ability in men. But to give pleasure to the residents of Vrindavan and through the Srimad Bhagavatam to give pleasure to all of us. They are crawling. So beautiful. Sukadeva Goswami says the way they would crawl, they looked like two little snakes crawling around. And they especially went to those places where the cows and the bulls and the oxen would leave their urine and dung. They were especially fond of cow dung and cow urine. And they'd crawl right through it. Their parents and the other elder gopis, they would see Krishna Balaram just dragging their little baby bodies through the cow dung and cow urine, and they would smile. Sometimes Krishna Balaram would be looking for their mothers crawling. They'd hear the tinkling of ankle bells. They'd crawl, 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 thinking, this is my mother. But it wasn't their mother, it was another gopi. They'd see little Krishna and Balaram with the tinkling of their ankle bells, and they'd say, oh, Krishna Balaram, and Krishna Balaram would notice, this is not Rohini, this is not Yashoda, and they'd get all very afraid and crawl away looking for their mother. Rohini would lift up Balaram, Yashoda Mai would lift up Krishna and put them in their laps. They were covered with cow dung and cow urine. As they were about to put their milk in Krishna and Balaram's mouth, sometimes they would notice in their mouth little teeth started growing. And Rohini and Yashoda would count the teeth and compare. I guess that's what mothers do. Out of love. Sometimes when they're crawling around, Krishna and Balaram would see a little calf, grab their tail. The little calf, feeling their tail pulled, would become afraid and jump up and start running. They were dragging Krishna again through dung and urine, through the dust of Vrindavan. And because the calf was so scared, running here and there, and Krishna Balaram, they were scared to let go. Seeing this, Rohini Devi Yashoda would smile. Their children appeared so helpless, just holding on. Rohini would pick up Balaram, Yashoda Mai would pick up Krishna and embrace them and make them feel protected and happy in their mother's love. After some time, Krishna and Balaram, Sukadeva Goswami says, without difficulty, they would learn how to walk. Little by little. And as soon as the Srimad Bhagavatam talks about walking, immediately comes the pastimes of Krishna and Balaram stealing the butter from the gopis' homes. And then we find this wonderful story where Krishna eats dirt at Brahmandagat. And Yashoda Mai is asking Krishna, why have you eaten dirt? This is not good. How could you eat dirt? I'm giving you so many sweets. I'm giving you my milk. Why you were eating dirt? How will you remain healthy if you're eating dirt? Krishna says, I didn't eat dirt. And Yashoda Mai said, but you did eat dirt because Balaram is telling me that you ate dirt. And Balaram's your best friend. He steals butter with you. He does everything with you. He would never lie against you. Balaram is saying that you ate dirt. And the reality is Balaram was claiming Krishna ate dirt. Why? Because Krishna actually did eat dirt. So here we find we've just been narrating little drops from the ocean of the stories of Balaram's complete surrender and submissive to assisting Krishna and serving Krishna as Lakshman, as Sheshanaga, holding up all the universes as Ananta, the ultimate servant of the Supreme Lord. But here, he's telling Yashoda and getting Krishna in trouble. This is Brajbhumi. Balaram's eternal existence is simply facilitating loving pastimes between Krishna and his devotees. So Krishna had to open his mouth. After all, Balaram said he ate dirt. And that is the time when he showed the entire universe within the little mouth. Balaram appears as Nityananda Prabhu in the age of Kali. There's a beautiful story of how after Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met for the first time at the house of Nanda Acharya, Sachimata told Nimai that she had a dream. In this dream, she saw Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya go on the altar of Krishna and Balaram and started taking all the sweets that were being offered to Krishna and Balaram. Krishna and Balaram were very angry. Balaram told Nityananda Prabhu, "You cannot do this. I'm the brother of Krishna. I'm Balaram. You cannot, who are you to steal his sweets? I will punish you." And Nityananda told Balaram, they were in the form of little boys. He said, "I am not afraid of your Krishna. I am the servant of Vishwambhar, Lord Chaitanya. Your days of stealing butter are over." Lord Chaitanya, he was so happy to hear this. They were fighting, and then finally at the end, Nityananda was calling, "Sachi, Sachi, give me food, give me food." So Lord Chaitanya said, "We should invite Nityananda Prabhu for prasad today." And Lord Chaitanya went to Nityananda Prabhu. Sachimata prepared wonderful lunch prasad. He said, "Nitai, you're being invited today by Sachi Devi to my house, but you should behave properly." Nityananda Prabhu said to Sachinandan, Sri Chaitanya, that "I always behave properly. You are the one who don't behave properly. That's why you are saying I don't behave properly." And they came with some of their associates and they sat down, and Sachimata came to give them prasad. And when she came back for seconds, she saw Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya were sitting there as two little tiny boys, one with a white complexion and one with a dark complexion. Krishna Balaram as little children without clothes on. And she fell unconscious. That is Yashoda Mai's Leela, serving Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. as Sachi Devi. On Balaram's 5th birthday, some wonderful things took place. But the Abhishek starts in 15 minutes. Huh? 11:30. So on the 5th birthday of Sri Balaramji, Nanda, Yashoda, Rohini Devi, they kept Balaram from going into the pastures with Krishna. At this time, Krishna and Balaram were in charge of taking care of the calves. Just previous to this day, one day Krishna and Balaram with all the gopas were taking care of the little calves. So many calves. And one of Kamsa's associates, a demon, for the purpose of killing Krishna and Balaram, he took the form of a calf. Very sweet-looking, innocent calf with nice lotus-like eyes. But Krishna knows everything. So as they're making the calves very happy, taking them to nice pastures to eat soft, nutritious, delicious grasses, and bringing them to the kuns and the nectary lakes to drink water, as the gopas would play so many wonderful games, Krishna told Balaram, "That calf is a demon who's come to kill us all." Balaram acknowledged. Krishna and Balaram very, very nicely walked just behind the calf, whose name was Batsasura. And Lord Krishna suddenly grabbed the back, the rear legs of the calf and whirled him around until the demon was dead. But Krishna likes to do many things with even one action. Because there was this tree called the Kapita tree. And these fruits are very delicious. So Krishna wanted to get those fruits for his friends. So he threw the calf on the top of the Kapita tree and then all the Kapita fruits fell down. So on Balaram's birthday, Rohini Devi kept him back to have Abhishekam for their little son, and also to engage him in serving the Brahmins, to give gifts and charity. We find in the scriptures, this is the way birthdays were celebrated. Because there's no greater gift than the blessings of great souls. So the little children, besides the yajnas that the great souls will perform for them, they would have the little children giving in charity. And then little children, and this is true for all of us, when the children learn that the greatest gift is the opportunity to serve great souls, then we're giving the child something wonderful. If we just give material toys and whatever else, clothes and gifts, that's fine. It's natural. But it doesn't really give a direction in life. But when we give them the value that the greatest gift we're giving is will you give gifts to others? Will you serve others? Well, you're being blessed by others because you're of your serving. That's the gift that Rohini would give Balaram and Yashoda and Nanda would give Krishna. So Balaram was staying back to to get all these yajnas and to give all these gifts to great souls. And meanwhile, when Balaram wasn't there, it was a special opportunity for Krishna to perform leelas. Because Balaram was his protector, his older brother. So on that day of Balaram Jayanti, today, we're celebrating these pastimes today. Agasura came to Vrindavan. Balaram wasn't there. He took the form of a gigantic serpent. I'm going to summarize because of time. Agasura opened his mouth. His lower lip was on the ground. His upper lip was in the clouds. Can you imagine a snake like that? We see little tiny snakes and we run away. Agasura was such a snake. And the cowherd boys were so confident of Krishna's protection. When they saw Agasura, they were playful. What is this? It looks like the tongue looks like a superhighway. His mouth is like is massive. His teeth look like snow-capped mountain peaks. And because Agasura was always eating different bodies, the rotting of the dead flesh and blood that was in his belly made his breath horrible. But the cowherd boys were just noticing, it must be all the dead corpses that's making this smell. And some were saying, this is a demon. And others were thinking, this is some wonderful playground that Krishna has arranged for us. And the boy said, let's go inside. And other boys said, no, I'm not going in there. And then the cowherd boys would tell those boys, if you don't come, then we're not going to play with you anymore. Why are you afraid Krishna will save us? After all, Bakasura, he was big as a gigantic mountain, and he swallowed Krishna, and he tried to kill us, and Krishna just bifurcated him. We have nothing to fear. So they were dancing and smiling right into the mouth of Aga. Krishna was watching. They're entering to the mouth of this demoniac snake. And after they were all inside the mouth, Krishna entered the mouth. Agasura closed the mouth with the intention of completely disintegrating the bodies of Krishna and the cowherd boys and the calves. And being in that completely dark place with no air, all the calves and all the children, they lost their consciousness. But Krishna glanced upon them. And because nobody was looking, Yashodamai wasn't there, Nanda Maharaj wasn't there, the boys and the calves were all unconscious. Krishna did something. The only time he did this in his Braj Leela, he assumed an incredible form to kill a demon. Bhutano, he was just a little baby. He just sucked a little harder. Tranabharta, he remained the same little baby size, hardly a year old. He just became heavy. Vatsasura, just Bakasurat. Even Kaliya, Krishna just danced on his hoods. But Agasura, Krishna expanded his body bigger, 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 and so big that no air could circulate in Aga's body, and he suffocated. At the moment of his death, his soul burst out from the top of his head into the sky, and his mouth opened. Krishna glanced upon all his friends in the calves, and they all came alive, and they were just, they were feeling well rested. They didn't know what happened exactly, but they knew that they were swallowed by this serpent, and somehow Krishna saved them, and they all came dancing out of the mouth of Agasura, and Krishna let them all go first, and as soon as he came out, the spirit of Agasura in the form of a light entered into Krishna's body. Agasura was the brother of Bakasura and Putana. He was really envious and really angry at Krishna. He decided, I must kill him. And if I kill Krishna, I kill all the calves and all the cowherd boys, then all the gopas and all the gopis and all the cows and all the bulls, they will definitely die because they cannot live without their children. He came to Vrindavan with the sole purpose of exterminating the whole Brijabasi race. Such cruelty, such envy, such hatred. But yet, the cowherd boys were so happy, dancing in his mouth. And somehow or other, at the time of his death, as Krishna was suffocating him, Agasura, through the association of Krishna and all the gopas, was feeling affection for them. And because of that little, that affection that awoke in the last moment, Agasura did not get impersonal liberation the way most demons do. He got elevation to the spiritual world to enter into Krishna's eternal pastimes. As did his sister Putana. So merciful is Lord Krishna. But after this, they were all very hungry. I guess when you get eaten, you get hungry. So Krishna said, let us take prasad on the bank of Yamuna today. They were especially very, very excited with their little calves. They sat on the bank of the Yamuna, and they all had their little packets, their Prabhupada called them tiffins, that their mothers would prepare for them. And oh, how they enjoyed taking prasad. How they enjoyed everything. Simplest ways of sharing joy with each other. Whatever the gopas did and whatever Krishna did was always to increase the pleasure of each other. So each one was making a special plate. Some were putting their prasad on leaves, some on flowers, some on rocks. They were all decorated in special ways by their mothers, and then they would decorate themselves in the forest. And Krishna was in the middle like the whirl of a lotus, and the gopas were like the petals around the whirl. And they'd all show each other the different kinds of prasad they had. Yashoda Mai would pack so many nice things for Krishna, and all the gopis would pack for their children. And they would be showing each other, and they would taste, and one cowherd boy would take a bite out of something, and it was so good. He said, Krishna, please try this. Krishna blissfully would take it right from the mouth of his friend and eat it and be so happy And they would just be passing around the prasad from one mouth of one cowherd boy to another, and they were all looking at Krishna. And even though the boys were in full circle around Krishna, and Krishna didn't manifest four heads or eight heads or 16 heads, he was just a little gopa, hardly 5 years old at the time, but yet every gopa was thinking, Krishna's only looking at me, simultaneously. Krishna's Rasa Bihari. He's so expert at giving pleasure to his devotees and tasting the sweetness of loving exchanges. Meanwhile, Lord Brahma and Balaram Jayanti, he heard about Krishna killing Akasura. And all the demigods were very much afraid of Akasura. And the way Krishna liberated him, the demigods were having big celebrations, so Brahma wanted to see what is it. And he came down, and Brahma saw Krishna as a little gopa, playing with his friends, eating prasad, putting prasad from mouth to mouth, tasting it, joking. Krishna would love to make his friends laugh. And his friends would love to make Krishna laugh. So many stories. As they're sitting eating prasad, somebody says to Krishna, I have something that's really... Krishna says to a cowherd boy, actually, I have something that tastes really, really nice. Close your eyes, I'll put it in your mouth. The cowherd boy closes his eyes, opens his mouth, and Krishna puts a flower in his mouth. And then the boy gets a really like a bitter flavor, and he looks very much unhappy the way he's... And Krishna and all the cowherd boys start laughing and laughing and laughing. When we talk about it, it doesn't sound so happy. But these simplest exchanges were the highest ecstasies for Krishna and his friends. So Brahma sees Krishna. He just killed Agasura. This mighty, powerful demon who was, 8 miles long? And he's just like a little boy, 5-year-old boy, playing. So Brahma wanted to test, who is this cowherd boy? He was bewildered. And by his own supernatural mystical powers, he allured the calves by fine, tasty grasses deeper and deeper into the forest. When the gopas, during their prasad, they noticed that the calves were not there, they became very much concerned. And Krishna said, you continue eating prasad, I will go and find the calves. He wandered along the riverbank through the forest, into mountains and valleys. He couldn't find the calves anywhere. When he returned, all the boys were gone. Krishna knew Brahma had stolen them. Actually, Brahma thought he stole them. He actually stole illusory manifestations of them. He was really bewildered. He took these calves and cowherd boys and put them in a cave and put them in a mystic sleep. For one moment of his time, which was exactly 1 year, by our time, during that year, one day, Krishna and Balaram were out with the cows and the calves. And Balaram, he saw the cows with the elder cowherd men on top of Govardhan Hill. And when the cows saw their calves, they came running down. And the cowherd men came running after them. And the cows were licking their little calves with tears flowing from their eyes. And the cowherd men were very disturbed. But when they saw their little children in such ecstasy of parental affection, they were embracing their children. And Balaram was watching this. And he understood that this type of love can only be for Krishna. He understood, Balaram, what really happened on Balaram Jayanti, when Balaram was not there. Krishna expanded himself to be an exact form of each calf and each gopa. And on Balaram Jayanti, when Krishna and all the cowherd boys came back to Gokul, nobody suspected anything. The only difference was that the gopis, the gopas, and the cows, and the bulls never, ever, ever had so much love for their children. Krishna became all their children to fulfill their desire. Because in the spiritual world, there's no envy. But still, each motherly cow, each motherly gopi, each fatherly gopa, were all saying they loved Krishna more than their own children. And they loved their children more than anybody could imagine a parent's love for children. But still, they loved Krishna more. And they were thinking, how fortunate are Nanda and Yashoda. They have Krishna as their own child, serving him day and night. There was no jealousy, rather. They were thinking, because they are so fortunate, let us serve Nanda and Yashoda. But Krishna, understanding their hearts, gave all the cows and all the elder gopis and gopas the opportunity to fully share intimate exchanges directly as Krishna's mother and father for one full year. They were experiencing the same pleasure as Yashoda and Nanda. So Balaram could understand exactly what happened. And Krishna confirmed it. Balaram understood Krishna. For this, it's almost been a full year. And every day since my birthday, I'm going out with all the calves and all the cowherd boys. And even I didn't know that they're all you. Krishna said, yes. It's me. Balaram was struck with wonder. And a few days later, again, it was his birthday. Sixth birthday. He stayed back. And Brahma came back to see what happened. And he saw all the cowherd boys, all the calves. They're all playing with Krishna. He was thinking, how is it possible? They're in the cave sleeping, but at the same time I see them here. So he went back to the cave. And they were still sleeping. And he came. He was going back and forth. He became completely bewildered. Is it that every time I go back to the cave, Krishna takes them and brings them here, and then whenever I go here, they bring them there? Or how is this possible? Brahma has four heads. He's looking in all four directions. Brahma Vimohan, he's completely bewildered. He doesn't understand what is happening. How is it that everything's the same after what I did? Then Krishna wanted to increase Brahma's bewilderment. Suddenly, right before Lord Brahma's eyes, every calf and every little boy takes the form of Vishnu, with four arms holding the symbols of Lord Vishnu. Then Brahma can't even blink his eyes anymore. He completely is blanked out. It's completely, totally beyond his comprehension. What is happening? Then suddenly everything disappears and all that's left is Gopal. Krishna, exactly as he was 1 year before, all alone with a little piece of yogurt and fruit salad in his hand, innocently looking for his calves. Brahma realizes he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He comes down on his swan carrier and puts his head on the feet of Lord Gopal. At that moment, he sees Vrindavan. The Brahma Samhita was written according to the vision he received. It wasn't until his ego was completely transcended and he surrendered his heart fully that he could actually see Vrindavan as it is. He saw every grain of dust to be Chintamani, more precious than the jewels of Vaikuntha. All the trees to be desire trees, kalpa briksha. He saw each cow to be Surabhi, Kamadenu. He saw the water as nectar. The sweetness of Krishna's flute everywhere. Brahma surrendered with tears pouring from all of his eyes. And he offered beautiful prayers of humility, seeking shelter of Krishna's grace. And Krishna didn't say a word. According to the acharyas, Krishna was in the role of a little cowherd boy, thinking, who is this Brahma? He's such a big person. Why is he bowing to me? I'm just a little cowherd boy looking for my calves. So after Brahma surrenders, he gets on his swan carrier and returns to his abode. And at that time, all of Krishna's friends and all the little calves, they manifested themselves again exactly where they were when Krishna was looking for them. Krishna found all the calves in the forest and brought them all to the riverbank. And when all the calves came back to the riverbank, all the boys, they started laughing and calling out, Krishna, you have returned so soon. You just left hardly a moment ago to find the calves. How did you find them all so soon? We haven't been eating anything because we were waiting for you to return. So now let us have prasad together. And Krishna laughed and they enjoyed prasad. And when they returned to Vrindavan, they were singing beautiful poetic songs of how today Krishna killed the demon Akasura. Interesting, on the way back from the cowherd pasture, they saw the body of Akasura all dried up. But it didn't really cross their mind what happened. But it was 1 year later. And Parikshit Maharaj asked Sukadeva Goswami, how is this possible? After 1 year, they were telling the Brijavasis about the killing of Akasura. And none of the Brijavasis even knew that for that 1 year, Krishna took the form of their son. And just after that, Krishna and Balaram entered into their sixth year. That's the Poganda Lila. The Gopas, headed by Upananda, Nanda Maharaj, Sunanda, Abhinanda, Nandan, they decided to give Krishna and Balaram the role of taking care of the cows, the full-grown cows. And it was on the eighth day of the waxing moon of the month of Kartik, Gopastami, that Krishna Balaram took charge of the cows. And they would go into the pasture, and every type of game they would play, they would decorate themselves with leaves and the minerals of Vrindavan, flowers, peacock feathers. They would take fruit, the cowherd boys, and throw the fruit in the air, and then they take another piece of fruit and try to hit that other fruit in the air. And if they did it, everyone would cheer and celebrate. They would play hide and seek. They would make little bridges to cross the rivers. They would make little boats to cross the Yamuna. Krishna would imitate the dancing of peacocks, the singing of the cuckoos. One day Krishna told Balaram that all these trees are bowing down to you, and the bees are actually great sages, and they're tasting the nectar of the sweetness of your glories by following behind you and buzzing the Vedic hymns. And the peacocks are dancing for you, and the birds are singing for you. They are all celebrating you, Balaram. And as they would play, Balaram would get tired. And he'd lay his head on another cowherd boy's lap like a pillow. Krishna would personally massage Balaram's feet, fan him with leaves from the forest, bring him water. At other times, Krishna would get tired, and the gopas would do the same for him. This way they would spend their days playing and herding the cows in the forests of Vrindavan. And the first demon that's recorded in Srimad Bhagavatam that was liberated after they took charge of the cows, I'll tell the story. One day as they're playing Sri Dama Subala Stoka Krishna, they approach Krishna and Balaram and say, oh, Balaramji, you are so strong. And Krishna, you're so wonderful. Close by, there is a forest named Dalavan. There's very, very tall trees. And from these trees, there are fruits that are so sweet, we can smell the aroma of them right now. But nobody is allowed to eat them. Because some associate of Kamsa named Denuka, powerful demon, has assumed the form of an ass. And his friends, they have also assumed gigantic ass forms. They are so cruel that even if any human being comes there, they will eat them alive. Therefore, all these fruits are falling to the ground and nobody could touch them. But we're very enthusiastic to eat them. So Krishna Balaram, please, liberate. Liberate us from our hunger and take us to the forest of Talavan. And actually, the cowherd boys did not want the fruits for themselves. They wanted to give pleasure to Krishna. Because they knew Krishna Balaram, every day they would like to kill different demons and liberate them. So for Krishna Balaram's pleasure, they were inviting them. But if they said, Krishna Balaram, we know that you like to kill demons, so go, Krishna and Balaram wouldn't find so much pleasure doing. But they're saying, we are very hungry, we want to eat those fruits so bad. They knew that then Krishna and Balaram would be very excited to do this. So they entered the Talavan forest. Sri Balaramji, he came to a tree and shook it. Tal fruits tumbled down to the ground, making a loud noise. Denukasura had such a consciousness that this forest belongs to me, and these fruits are for me to enjoy. How dare anyone intrude on my property? Furious, he came charging toward Balaram. And Balaram is standing there just shaking trees, all the fruits. You know, if he did it in secret, it wouldn't be such an insult. But doing it publicly and making so much noise, Denukasura was so angry. His ego was on fire. How dare you come right out in the open in my forest and do like this? Denuka was like a mountain in size. He turned his rear side to Balaram and with all of his strength kicked Balaram in the chest with his hind legs again and again and again. Balaram just stood there. Denuka was so angry after kicking him. He was roaring this horrible sound. It was terrifying. Roaring again and again and again.
But it was like thunder.
Obsessed with anger, ran in circle after circle after circle, then returned to Balaram, faced his rear end at him, and pounded his legs on Balaram's chest.
Balaram stood there patiently. Then with one hand, he grabbed the hind legs of Denukasura, lifted him over his head, whirled him in circles until Denukasura was so dizzy that he died. Then Balaram located the tallest of all the tall trees in Talavan. This is the way he honored Denukasura. He threw his dead corpse on the top of the highest of all the trees. And the tree started
rocking back and forth and back and forth, and the fruits were falling down, and then the tree hit another tree, and then trees started moving back and forth, and all the trees, and they started breaking. And the friends of Dainukasura were so upset. They couldn't tolerate. They just killed our leader. All of them charged at Krishna and Balaram. And Krishna, with one hand, one after another, were whirling them around, and right next to him was Balaram doing the same thing. And all the trees were covered with these gigantic forms of dead asses. They were all liberated. Looked like a beautiful scene, Sukadeva Goswami said. It was like big dark clouds, and because there was so much blood, some of them looked like red clouds at the time of the sunset. Then the Brijavasis came to eat the fruits, but the cowherd boys didn't eat them because of all the blood and everything around. And this Dainukasura consciousness, this mentality of I and mine, by the grace of Balaram, through the instructions and the mercy of the spiritual master, can liberate us from that. And just after Dainukasura, they all came back to Vrindavan, and Krishna was playing his flute, and Balaram was playing his flute, and all the gopas were chanting the glories of Krishna killing, and Krishna and Balaram killing Dainukasura and his friends, and they were singing beautiful songs and praise. And all the Brijavasis they welcomed Krishna Balaram back to their home, to Nanda's home. The gopis gazed at Krishna with eyes like bumblebees toward the nectar of Krishna. After a long day of separation, and just after they came back home, the next story told in Srimad Bhagavatam is when Balaram did not go out to be with Krishna and the cowherd boys. And that was the day that they all drank water from this little lake and died. And then Krishna glanced at them and brought them back to life. Krishna climbed up on a kadamba tree and jumped into the water of this lake near the Yamuna, Kaliya. Kali emerged with his many heads and wrapped up Krishna in coils. And so many inauspicious things were happening all around that Nanda and Yashoda and Balaram and everybody came running to the lake of the Yamuna, where they saw Krishna in Kali's grips. And Nanda and Yashoda and all the gopas and gopis, they were besides himself with grief. They tried to enter into the waters of the Yamuna, which was then the Yamuna Lake, which was highly poisoned. But Balaram stopped them. Some he stopped with his words, others he stopped by holding them back. This massive, enormous serpent wrapped around little Krishna's body. Balaram was thinking, in my form of Ananta Shesha, Krishna never plays with me like this. Why is Krishna playing with this insignificant little water snake named Kaliya? My brother has nothing, he is in no danger. And he was smiling and happy, Balaram, while all the other Brijavasis were on the verge of death, seeing Krishna in that state. Then Krishna danced on the hoods of Kaliya. And through the prayers of Kaliya's wives, the Nagapatnis, ultimately he surrendered to Krishna. Just after this pastime, Krishna and Balaram go to the forest with their friends to herd the cows, playing so many wonderful games together. And one particular cowherd boy stayed back at his parents' house that day. And the demon Pralamba, he understood and took the exact form of that cowherd boy with the intention to kill Krishna Balaram. So Krishna immediately recognized that this cowherd boy is a demon. How cruel to take the form of Krishna's intimate, loving friend to exploit him. So Krishna understood, and he told the gopas that let us divide into two parties, and we'll play, and the loser of the game will have to carry the winner of the game on their shoulders. So they played. Krishna was the leader of one side and Balaram the other. Balaram's side won. So Krishna carried Sridhama on his shoulders. Bhadrasena carried Bishab. Pralamba was on Krishna's side because he was thinking, let me kill Balaram first. Because Krishna's very strong. So a little cowherd boy on Krishna's side said, Balaram, please ride on my shoulders. You defeated me. They were playing this game at the Bandiraka, this massive banyan tree in the forests of Bandiravan. And there, the little cowherd boy started running with Balaram deeper and deeper into the forest to bring him to a secluded place to kill him. Meanwhile, Balaram is thinking, he should have put me back. He should have put me down long ago. Where is this boy taking me? And Balaram understood. Same little size, he increased his weight until suddenly little Baladev became the weight of a full mountain. And Pralamba was having really a hard time carrying him. He was struggling so much he could no longer contain the disguise and manifested his true form, the size of a mountain. Terrible, terrible demon. And Balaram, he looked like the moon on top of a huge cloud. And he was thinking, my friend has changed in every way. Then with his little fist, Balaram struck him on the head. His head cracked. Little fist of Balaram he was angry with this little friend. Balaram was angry because this friend was taking him away from all the other friends. That's one of the reasons he was so angry. This demon is trying to take me away from all my friends. He couldn't tolerate it. So with one strike of his fist, Pralamba's head cracked open, started bleeding, and he fell to the ground with the shook the earth like an earthquake. The demigods showered flowers. Balaram ran back to his friends, and they were all jumping and cheering and welcoming Balaram back. Sometimes anartas, Pralamba represents egoism, lust. Sometimes our anartas, like enemies, they disguise themselves as our best friends, promising, be with me and you'll be happy. Try to get our trust. It's only by the mercy of Balaram, who comes through the instructions and the grace of our spiritual masters, that we can overcome these demoniac tendencies. In this way, Krishna Balaram revealed to the world the most intimate loving pastimes of Vrindavan. And one day Akrura came, Krishna and Balaram's uncle, and brought them to Mathura. There in Mathura, Krishna and Balaram in their wrestling arena, they wrestled Chanura and Mustika, defeated them, liberated Kamsa, and were once again reunited with Vasudeva and Devaki. They went to Ujjain to live with their guru, Sandipani Muni, where they served their teacher and his wife just like students, offering so many menial services and so eager to learn all different subjects. When they offered dakshina, some gift to their guru, Sandipani Muni and his wife, they asked for their son, who had died some time before. And Krishna Balaram brought the son of their guru back to life and reunited them with his parents. In Dwarka, Shukadev Goswami tells the story. Balaram decided to visit Vrindavan after so many years in separation. When Balaram, I have to end here. But when Balaram came to Vrindavan, he was greeted by Nanda and Yashoda. Rohini was living in Dwarka with him. They were all asking, how is Krishna? He met with his Gopa friends and he met with the gopis. Balaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he bowed down to his superiors, his elders. He embraced his friends. He accepted the obeisances of his juniors. Everything with perfect etiquette. He exchanged love. Nanda and Yashoda were asking, how is Krishna's health? Every question was about Krishna and all of Krishna's devotees in Dwarka. And when Balaram met the gopis, Krishna's gopis, they were crying, does Krishna ever remember us? He called us. We left our homes. We left our families. We left everything for him. And then he left us. He's forgotten us, but we cannot remember. We cannot forget him. Even we try to forget him, we cannot forget him. He's captured our hearts with his smiles, with his glances, with the song of his flute. Does he ever remember us? Will he ever return? Balaram consoled the gopis by narrating the pastimes of Krishna and repeating Krishna's loving messages to all of them. And then Balaram with his own gopis in a place called Ramghat in Brajbhumi, he performed the Ras Lila. Every night for 2 months, one particular event is told by Shukadev Goswami that he was drinking Varuni beverage and he was in a very ecstatic mood. Going from place to place in the forest of Vrindavan with his gopis. And he called Yamuna, please come here. We want to be in your bank. We want to swim and have water pastimes. But Yamuna, thinking that Balaram was highly intoxicated by this Varuni, didn't really pay attention. Balaram took his plow and said, today, O river, because you disobey me, I will drag you to where I am and scratch you into many, many different streams. And Yamuna Devi, understanding it was Balaram's will, she manifested her personal form and praised Lord Balaram and surrendered her heart. Lord Balaram, whoever takes shelter, he gives his full mercy. And what was his mercy? Along with his gopis, they had water pastimes in Yamuna's waters that night. When Samba, the son of Jambavati and Krishna, went to Hastinapur, it was the Swayamvara of Duryodhana's daughter, Lakshmana. And Samba kidnapped her. The most powerful generals of the Kuru army fought against Samba. And ultimately, they captured him. When the news of this came to Ugrasena, he assembled the armies of the Yadus to declare war against the Kurus. But Balaramji was very friendly toward Duryodhana. He said, why? We have such good relationship, the Kurus and the Yadus, for so long. Why should we be fighting over something like this? We could discuss it and work it out. I will go there and trust me. So Ugrasena said, yes, you go there, Balaram. If Balaram could not work things out, it was going to be a full-scale war. So Balaram, he took Uddhava with him, along with some others. They came to the outskirts of Hastinapur. Uddhava went in and announced, Balaram is here. When they came out, they worshipped Balaram. And Balaram very, very forcefully, but politely and lovingly told them to give Samba back. Krishna's son should not be a prisoner. Wow, they couldn't believe this. The Kurus were so bewildered by their power, by their majesty. They said to Balaram, who are you, a Yadu,
to tell the Kurus what to do. This is like the shoe wanting to take the position of the crown on top of the head. Everything the Yadus have is only by the mercy of the Kurus. If you are so arrogant to give us instructions, we will take everything away from you. Balaram was listening. His eyes were turning more and more a red color in anger. He didn't say anything. He just listened. Are you done? They said, yes, we have completed our message. Balaram, his voice like thunder. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are claiming that he is subordinate to you? You have so much power, you have so much wealth, you are the kings of the world. You have become bewildered due to the intoxication of your false pride, and I have come to crush it. He said, today I will annihilate the entire Kuru dynasty along with Hastinapur. He took his plow and hit it against the ground, separated the entire kingdom of Hastinapur from the earth, began to drag it into the Ganga. All Dhritarashtra, Duryodhana, Bhima, Bhishma, everybody, when they saw what was happening, they came with folded palms and bowed down and begged Balaram, please forgive us. We surrender to you. Actually, we didn't mean what we were saying. But we know you enjoy doing pastimes of great strength, so we just wanted to see you do that. And they brought Samba and Lakshman and said, please take her to Dwarka. And Duryodhana started offering big dowries and everything. And Balaram was happy. And there was a wonderful marriage festival for Samba. And soon after that, or actually it happened just before that, Dvivida. Dvivida was one of the very, very faithful soldiers in Hanuman and Sugriva's army, fighting with Ram against Ravana. There are many prayers in glorification of Dvivida and his brother. But it is described that Dvivida was a great devotee of Ram, loyal servant of Sugriva, fighting the battle heroically, but Dvivida was envious of Lakshman. And Lakshman's the original guru. Just like in Lord Chaitanya's Leela, when Jagai and Madhai offended Nityananda Prabhu, even when they surrendered to Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya said, he had his Sudarshan Chakra. He said, because you have made aparad to Nityananda, unless you surrender to him, I cannot forgive you. In many places in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, he praised Nityananda Prabhu, that no one can please me without pleasing Lord Nityananda. So Dvivida was envious of Lakshmana and indicated that in various ways. So later on, when Lakshman became Balaram, Dvivida lost all his good qualities because of this Vaishnavan Guru aparad. He went from being a great devotee to the
to a horrible demon. But actually, we're all great devotees. Jivera Swarupoi Krishnara Nitya Das. Love for Krishna is in everyone's heart. But somehow or other, because of aparads, we become more and more selfish and more arrogant, and we become like little Vividas. Vivida could not tolerate anybody enjoying. He wanted to enjoy everything, and because he was so powerful, nobody could do anything or say anything. And the way, when we get more and more power and more strength, the tendency is we think everything is for my pleasure. We can't tolerate anybody else enjoying what we want to enjoy. So Vivida used to do horrible things. He would rape princesses. He would cause tidal waves by stirring the ocean with his hands. He was absolutely abominable and cruel. And then Raivata Mountain, Balaram was playing with some young ladies and they were singing songs. And Vivida was thinking, how dare anyone enjoy these women when I should be? So this gigantic gorilla came and he started doing so many obscene things. He was moving his eyebrows and he was making very, very strange noises, and Balaram's friends were just laughing at him. But then he started doing obscene things and went to take them away. So Balaram punched him. And Vivida was very angry. He started picking up giant rocks and Balaram was breaking them all with his club till there was no more rocks. Then he was uprooting trees trying to hit Balaram with them. Balaram hit them all. Then when there was nothing else, Vivida with his massive fist began beating Balaram's body, and Balaram with one touch of his hand, he broke Vivida's neck and his head, and Vivida vomited blood and fell to the ground and became liberated. Good lesson. When we see envy in our hearts, when we feel this arrogance, Janasya moho yamaham mameti, I am this body, this is mine to enjoy, we must take shelter of the strength of Balaram to actually recognize that I'm the eternal servant of Krishna and everything is Krishna's property. Lord Nityananda Prabhu appeared as the elder brother of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya treated Nityananda Prabhu in that mood. And Nityananda Prabhu, his life, his soul, his everything was to give pleasure to Lord Gauranga. And what is it that gives the ultimate pleasure to Lord Gauranga? It was that that Nityananda took as his life and soul. To help the people of this age of Kali to be delivered from all suffering forever by awakening their love for Krishna by chanting the holy names. Brajendra Nandana Jay Sachi Sutta Hoylo Se Balarama Hoylo Nitai. Krishna has appeared as the son of Sachi Devi, and Balaram has come as Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Tina Hina Yata Chilo Harinama Udhari Lotara Sakshi Jagai Madhai. Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda has come, Parama Karuna Pahundui Jana, to display their supreme compassion by giving us the holy names of Lord Krishna. The power of the holy names is it could kill all the demons within our hearts. Ram and Lakshman, they killed Indrajit, Kumbhakarna, Ravana with their bows and their arrows. Varahadev killed Hiranyaksha with his tusk and his hoof. Narasingha, Hiranyakashipu, was slain with his claws, his nails. Krishna Balaram, with their fists, with their suitors on chakras, with their clubs, and in so many ways in Vrindavan, they killed so many demons. But as Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, their weapon was their beauty. Their weapons were the mercy of their devotees. And that was manifested through the power of their holy names. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu performed the same lila as Krishna Balaram. But rather than killing the demons, they killed the demoniac tendencies within our hearts with the weapon of the holy names. Through the power of the holy name, Krishna and Balaram as Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they made the worst of all the demons in the universe, Jagai and Madhai, into pure, humble, loving servants of the Lord. And by the mercy of Krishna Balaram, Gornitai, Srila Prabhupada has come as their representative. To give us the highest liberation, love for Krishna, if simply we take shelter of a lifetime of service while chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare.
It is time for the Abhishekam ceremony. Today, Balaram Jayanti. With grateful hearts, let us take shelter of the gift of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Srila Prabhupada, all over the world he installed Gornitai deities. And then he came to Vrindavan to establish the Krishna Balaram temple. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Everyone.